Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Everybody, this is Lori.
And this is Abby.
Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities.
We are bringing you another episode in our 12-part series called Turning Struggles into Triumphs, Parenting Through Learning Challenges.
So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's interview. Have a great day. Okay, Kelsey, thank you for being here today. We appreciate you taking your time to talk with us. First of all, let's talk a little bit about Reagan is your daughter. And she actually just was tested last month. So you have a fresh diagnosis.
Yes. Very.
So tell us a little bit about Reagan, kind of like what you were seeing that sort of led up to the, like, okay, now it's time to get tested.
Yeah. So Reagan is 8 and second grade, and she's my youngest of 4. And in my personal and professional mom opinion, feel like second grade is a really big turning point for all sorts of learning differences. My oldest is dyslexic and he's so smart, and I knew he was super smart, tested really high, but in second grade, his reading plummeted and his anxiety spiked and we couldn't figure out what was going on. Turns out he's dyslexic. We got that worked out and he has soared ever since. He's in sixth grade now, no 504, no accommodations, highest testing kid in his grade.
Wow.
We knew he was smart. We just had to connect those dots. And so with Reagan, we noticed probably in the last 2 years or so that some of the things that she does, that she did as a baby, she wasn't growing. Uh-huh. She would take long pauses. You would constantly be like, Reagan, look back at me. Look at my eyes. Did you hear what I said? And we often joked that Reagan lives in a really lovely place called Reaganland. And we all want to go visit and none of us have been invited. And she knows about Reaganland and she jokes with us too. Cause I think in our family, we're all very sarcastic and we all need to laugh at ourselves mm-hmm. a little bit. So we tell our dyslexic kid, dude, your dyslexia is showing. Like, wow. and so with Reagan, she's like, sorry, I was in Reaganland. And we're like, yes, that sounds lovely. Hello, but come back.
But that's good that she's at least self-aware of it.
She is. And so just at the beginning of the school year, we noticed her grades were not what they had. We were bringing home C's. We were having to make lots of corrections on things that I knew she knew. And that was a big telltale for me because second grade is not as challenging as where she's going to be over the next few years.
Right.
So if we're trying to understand numeric order in second grade, we're really going to struggle, you know, in three-digit addition in third grade. So I met with her teacher.
How did she feel about that? Sorry. How did she feel about bringing home stuff that she had to redo or that she made careless mistakes?
She was super frustrated mm-hmm. With herself and really discouraged, which is not like her because she lives in a lovely land right. and she's very happy and she knows that she's smart. But she was getting really frustrated with herself. And there was no explanation.
Right.
She couldn't put into words, you know, I just don't understand regrouping or carrying the one. It's just that it wasn't processing. And so I met with her teacher and her teacher said, you know, what do you see at home? And I said, I see when I give audible instructions, Reagan struggles. I can say, Reagan, go upstairs, brush your teeth. You know, get dressed, make your bed, you know, whatever. Let's go to school. Put your shoes on. Let's go to school. And she might do two of those things. And those are pretty basic things at 8 that I feel like we do every day.
Right.
We should be able to do. So I started writing on her mirror in her bathroom. Here's your morning list. here's your evening list. And we never had another issue. We checked all those boxes because there was a visual cue. And so I told her teacher that, and her teacher started implementing some of those things in their classroom for her, and she's thriving all of a sudden. But the auditory, the audible instructions is still a struggle. And so I thought we had a processing disorder. So my unprofessional mom opinion was, okay, this is not ADD or ADHD because she can focus and she has reading comprehension skills and she's reading on a higher level than second grade. I didn't see any of the telltale signs of ADHD of what I thought it was. I just saw the audible. And so we had her tested and it ended up being the ADHD inattentive was the main source. And when Lori went over it with us, I was like, oh no, like that's the root cause. It's not audible processing because she can hear and she can regurgitate and she has a really high vocabulary. She'll come home and say, you know, instead of saying like, okay, she'll be like, oh, that was an excellent choice. And I'm like, that's okay. A weird, okay. Like, you know, cool. You know, that was Reagan in a nutshell. She is adopted. And so we don't have a lot of information about, prenatal health care. We knew there was none. We knew there was some in utero trauma. We knew that, you know, there's a widespread of things that could have been. So we came to y'all saying, please prove us wrong. Tell us, we want to cross every T, dot every I, and really get a rule out anything else that could be going on in this precious human's brain. And honestly, ADHD, I was like, I can do it. Like we can do this.
When you had said that, you know, in your mind, it wasn't ADHD, what did you picture ADHD to be before this process?
I pictured ADHD being being my 9-year-old, honestly, and being a bunch of the kids that I've worked with in the past and my kids' friends. Like it's the fidget, it's the outbursts, the impulsiveness, the hyper-focused when there's something super interesting. I didn't see it as the head in the clouds, or the incredible imagination, because Reagan's imagination is incredible. She is going to do something with it. Creative.
Yep.
That's not how I pictured ADHD because of the H.
Right.
Hyperactive.
Right.
You know, if we still had just the ADD umbrella, maybe.
Yeah.
I would have, maybe. But again, I think I was more in denial. I'm not in denial. I thought there was more. I thought I was missing more, something bigger. And not that ADHD is not big. I thought we were missing.
Like a processing.
I wanted to make sure, yes, the processing was really a challenge. She knew, and you could see her brain working. You could see her trying to take it all in. It just wasn't clicking fast enough.
Well, and I always explain that, like, you know, as somebody with ADHD, it's like you have 12 tabs open. And so when someone gives you information, you're hearing it and you want to process it, but your brain is having such a hard time staying on that tab, and you end up at the other tab, and then you come back and you're like, oh man, what was that? And it makes processing, especially auditory information, very difficult.
Yeah. And knowing that now, it makes sense because we do have a big family. I mean, there's 6 of us and we live, you know, with dogs and chickens, and there's just noise. My husband is loud. My boys are loud. It's just loud. And so it makes sense to me now that when the music is on and everybody's doing homework at once, she can't take in all of the words, but if she can read it, she really does much better. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to implement now is just tailoring how we parent, how we teach, how we, you know, make chore charts, all the things to what Reagan, what she needs.
And what are they doing in school for her?
So we, she's in a private school.
Okay.
Again, is great. One of our concerns was if there was a larger issue, dysgraphia, dyslexia, processing, anything like that, she would require a 504, which would have to, we would have to go back to the, a different school system. And we did not want, we don't, we want our kids all together. So, they're able to make accommodations at school. We're doing it on an as needed basis.
Perfect.
And we did the thing with my dyslexic kiddo. You know, he went in and he had some testing accommodations the first year. And then the second year he had less accommodations. And then last year in the public school system, he had zero accommodations for STAR testing and his grades kept going up. And so with Reagan, we're honestly kind of doing the opposite. We're kind of filling in the gaps as we see them because it's second grade.
Right.
And as her grades are good, she has, you know, A's and B's and that's, you know, we're okay with that. We'd like them to be higher, but we're getting there. And so her teacher, like for one, like gave her a schedule that she put it on her, on the whiteboard. And she says, you know, Reagan, every morning you come in and you can check our schedule. And so as needed, Reagan can go back to the schedule and she can check because their electives change every day. And then if she needs added time for testing, we can accommodate that as needed, but she hasn't needed it yet. And so my husband and my opinion is let's just keep going down as we are, see how we do, and then we will readdress it as needed, you know, semester by semester, year by year.
I think that's perfect.
Yeah. And she's doing really, I mean, she really is, she has a, and I think it's teacher based too. She has, her teacher has been, she understands her, she gets a kick out, you know, she finds it all kind of, she laughs with her, you know, and so, and we have really good communication, which is, I think, key.
For sure.
Is having, I have good communication with her teacher, with the counselor at the school. And so they've been great.
Well, and you have the gift of also knowing the curriculum, what's coming with having three older kids. So, you know, as the demands increase, you're going to already know what to expect and what she may need in those different settings too. It won't be something new every year.
Right. And like, we're already, you know, we have, they have like help where they can pull her out, for one-on-one instruction, like should she start to struggle in math. And it's not a huge, it doesn't have to be because it's a private school setting. It doesn't have to be a 504 once or twice a year. It can be as she needs it. So I personally anticipate her needing pull out help for math. I think she's going to need help getting those processes down. So that's like on our radar for January, because that's when their new like unit starts. You know, it's just, if I've learned anything about having four kids and one dyslexic, one traditional, or it's not traditional, what's the word for a, is it a traditional learner? One traditional learner is my second son, who I taught my first son how to read. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so hard. And then when I taught my second son how to read, I was like, oh my gosh, like a non-dyslexic kid, like this is, what is happening? We're soaring through this curriculum. And then my third son has hyperactive ADHD. And then I've got little Ray, you know, so if there's anything that I've learned with each kid, it's that I can't put them in a box. And it's not a reflection necessarily on me or her or their teacher or the district or whatever. It's just every kid requires something a little bit different, and that's okay. We just have to figure out what makes them tick, what clicks. So that's what we've kind of just had to let go of what we thought parenting kids with some of these learning differences looked like.
Well, and you're already doing so many of the things that we would typically recommend, especially like writing on the mirror. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've recommended that to parents. And that is huge because that visual schedule and a physically checking things off as you go is huge. And it really does give them some sense of independence, but then they're getting their stuff done and you're not nagging them.
And it's independent. And she is so thrilled and she wants to do it. And part of what we had to realize with our two littles, my 8 and 9 year old, is that it's not that they're reacting or behaving or forgetting to do things on purpose. it's just the way their brain works. And so, you know, which for me as a parent helps me not get as frustrated as quickly. If I can step back and say, okay, no, that's just your ADD showing. You know, here's your list again. We're going to go do it. And I have, because I have so many kids, I have to write things down. I live and breathe by our color coordinated family calendar. And our motto, because we live out in the country, is, you know, you live here, you work here. And so we all have to chip in. And so I have always had chore charts and I've always written it down because I'm not going to remember whose day it is to clean the chicken coop. Uh-uh. I don't know. I can't remember. One of you needs to go do it. I have always had to write it down. When we travel and we have to pack, I write it down and I hand it to them. And I wish I had connected the dots faster, that's what worked best for Reagan.
Right.
But it did take, we have a good friend who's an ADHD coach out here where we live. And, her daughter is best friends with my ADHD son. Uh-huh. And so she's the one who was like, I see things. You're going to need me. I'm just letting you know they're too young right now, but it's coming and here's what you can do to help. And so she's the one who gave me the suggestions for the mirror. And she's the one, you know, who, you know, originally was like, we're going to do some one-on-one coaching. And then as she's gotten to know us, she's like, you're really kind of already doing it yourself. You know, I think that comes with the territory of having a whole bunch of kids. Mm-hmm. You just have to
be organized.
You have to be organized.
And structure, which are the two things. Structure is what ADHD brains respond to. And when mm-hmm. you are that busy and have that much going on, you have to have some structure. It can't be a free for all. So that structure is super important, and she's getting it and at school. And I think, you know, the nice thing about, like you said, being in a private school is that they're not bound by federal law and having to meet only once a year or whatever. It's very flexible and they're there to work with you and to meet the needs of the students. So she's going to get what she needs. And like you said, as the demands increase, you tweak things and absolutely.
And I think every kid is different because I will say that my 12-year-old who's dyslexic, he would not be where he was today if it weren't for the public school system that we live in. His dyslexia teacher has forever impacted his life in the most positive way. She was his biggest cheerleader. We still email with her back and forth, uh-huh. Even though he's not there. Like the public school system is a challenging thing, but I will say if you get a good reading specialist, a good dyslexia teacher, we would have never gone anywhere else.
Wow.
I just think it depends kid by kid. It's truly kid by kid.
I would agree. I would totally agree. And there are some services that depending on your private school are better served in the public school. It's interesting. Now there are a lot of private schools though that do offer some dyslexia therapy, which I find fascinating, but amazing. But yeah, I mean, it's there for you and that's, you know, that's why you pay your property taxes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so does she understand kind of the results? Does Reagan understand sort of what came from the testing? Does she understand that she just learns differently, thinks differently? Like, did it make sense to her? Or?
Yeah, because she was getting so discouraged in the beginning, before we got her tested, we explained it to her that she was, you know, we were going to go, we were going to do these tests, just like her brother had done. Because, you know, her brother learns differently. His brain works different. And so we just want to make sure, you know, we understand if your brain works different, we need to figure out how to make it work. And so, you know, she was very nervous going into the test. But I don't want to say we downplayed it because that's not the right word, but we did. We didn't make it a thing. It's not a big deal. It is what it is. And so, you know, one of the things we've done is we've changed their diet, my little two guys' diet. And I know I told you this before, but when we went for Reagan's diagnosis, she has all of the ADHD inattentive boxes checked and the ADHD, the hyperactive boxes, as we were going over what my daughter doesn't have, I was like, oh, my son has all of these. And the hyperactive is a much more, it's so in front of you all the time. mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. so and he's loud and he's fidgety and it all makes sense now. But we know that my nine-year-old for sure has ADHD. And so one of the things that we could do was change their diets to try to help with some of those symptoms, which we honestly did for Ryder more than Reagan. But we're all doing it, you know, so we've all cut out all the gluten and we've all cut out the red dye. And so we've made it kind of a fun thing over the last few weeks of, Hey, look what I found today. We're going to try these, you know, gluten-free Oreos and it's a special treat. Let's see if these taste any good. So I think Reagan has actually kind of like, she's really embraced it because that means she gets lots of popcorn,
right,
every day. And, you know, she's still young enough that this wasn't a, it was getting a diagnosis didn't change anything for her. It didn't discourage her anymore, but it didn't make it any better. It just was what it is. You know, and I think that the things that her teacher is doing and that we're doing at home have really helped. And she, you know, we don't see the tears nearly as much.
Good.
Anymore.
Good. That's huge.
And I think today, just as a side note, like kids today, it's hard raising kids in 2023, but kids today as a whole are so much more inclusive of all humans and all kinds of learners and all. And so, which I love, I just love watching. I love watching how kids today interact with each other on such a pure, honest, they don't see the learning difference. They don't see any differences at all.
No.
It just, those are who those people are. And that's different from when I was a kid. Unfortunately, you know, fortunately, but unfortunate for my generation.
Right.
Which I think is one aspect of 2023 that's a little bit easier raising kids, is that it's not a big deal. You know, okay, so-and-so has, you know, anxiety. Okay, well, does he go to counseling? Because I go to counseling. You know, it's like, it's just this like openly talked about thing with kids today. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it totally does. And I do think it helps. There's not a stigma. That makes a big difference. And I think a lot of kids can be relieved. Like, okay, so there is something. Like, it's not that I'm not smart enough, or it's not that, you know, there's something wrong with me, but there's a reason why this is hard for me. And it's not a big deal, but it sure makes a lot of sense.
Right. And instead of being written off as just a less intelligent human, which is, you know, where we were, now it's seen as they just learn differently. You know, they need to be able to put them at the back of the class if they need to get up and stand up in their seat and do their work standing up. And that's okay. Which I just love.
Yeah, that's awesome.
There's a lot of hard with learning and kids in this world, but that's one of the things that is just so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad. And sounds like she's going to have a great year. I mean, things are turned around a little bit and headed in the right direction.
Yeah. I think she, I think she's building the confidence. You know, I think that, she's seeing the improvement in just having using some of the tools that we've given her, which I think motivates her to want to continue to do it.
Yeah. And I love that you trusted your mom gut. You knew there was something.
Oh, for sure.
Not sure what,
yes,
but you knew there was something. And I put a lot of weight on the mom gut. I think we have some intuition there. And we know, may not know what it is, but we know there's something.
Yes. And that's why I always say, you know, when those mom antennas go up, I'm like, okay, let's start really paying attention to what it is. And it's always my unprofessional mom opinion. Like, I don't, you know, no matter what it is, it's my unprofessional opinion as their mom, this is what's going on. And for the most part, it's been pretty accurate. So yeah, I always encourage other moms.
Follow your
pay
gut.
Pay attention.
Yep. Follow your gut.
Questions. And when my second grader had dyslexia, his teacher was like, no, he makes straight A's. And I was like, no, something is wrong. This is not right. I had to really push to get him tested. And I'm glad I did, because they don't, you know, their teachers are humans too. And they have a bunch of kids to watch. So.
Well, and grades are the first thing. It's like that first line, right? Like, well, if the grades are fine, then there's no red flags. Yeah. And behavior, no red flags.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And if they make good grades and they're good students and they're kind, then it's usually not an issue. You know, it's those harder, you know, my nine-year-old is the behavior is where we started. I'm like, why are we getting in trouble all the time at school? What is happening? This is not like you, you know, and then having gone through the diagnosis with Reagan, I'm like, well, now that makes sense.
The impulsivity.
So having the impulsivity, just needing to move.
Not thinking before acting.
Oh, so much. And you can ask, and boys, maybe girls are different, but I've got three boys and one girl, but my boys, I can be like, why did you do that, dude? And they're like, no. And I really don't think they know sometimes.
They don't know.
I think it's just, they don't know.
It was because it wasn't premeditated.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You threw your Frisbee on the roof, you climbed the tree to get on the roof, and now what? I don't know, but I got a Frisbee.
I'm here. Yeah, exactly. Well, exactly.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to share your story with us. You have an amazing family, and it sounds like things are all on the right track. You're doing some great things.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.